Good morning. Okay, we're going to try it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad you guys are here. My name's Kelsey. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors here. If we have met, I'm still one of the pastors here, so I guess that doesn't change. I'm glad that you're with us this morning, especially the weekend after Thanksgiving. How many of you had a fantastic Thanksgiving? How many of you don't want to talk about how it wasn't fantastic and we're just going to ignore it? All right, I saw some hands. That was good. You're not ignoring it if you raise your hands, but that's okay. How many of you ate turkey? How many of you didn't eat turkey? Yeah, vegetarians. All right. Well, I'm glad you're here. Rolled yourself out of bed after all that food, after all that coma. This morning's a great morning. We're launching into Christmas. Can you guys believe it's Christmas already? How many of you now officially have started listening to Christmas music? Okay, how many of you were listening to it in the beginning of November because you guys ruined Thanksgiving for everybody else? You guys are proud. Me, I know. Rude. Some of us like to wait until we've had our pumpkin pie. I don't know. All right, so a couple things you need to know. First of all, this week, we, as in the youth department, we are sending a team out to San Carlos. Leaving on Friday. So all week long, if you can be praying for preparation, praying for just God to work. Also, if any of you have a car that seats lots of kids that you don't mind us using, we are still looking for transportation. Please, please let us steal your van. All right, so please let me know if you do have a vehicle that we can lend. Otherwise, just keep praying. We're really excited about this trip. We found out on Saturday, we are going to be hosting a Christmas festival like we do every year, decorating cookies, frosting everywhere. Then on Sunday, we actually get to do something new for us. We get to put on a worship service with some Christmas carols, and I get to teach, and I'm going to make Joey wear a little sheep costume. I don't know that it has anything to do, with what I'm actually talking about, but he's going to be in a sheep costume. So it's going to be a really cool way to connect to some of the kiddos in a different way. Then we're going to eat dinner with them. So if you guys just want to be praying for us this weekend, it's cold, but we're excited to go and worship God. So thank you guys for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Other thing that I'm going to talk to you about, you may notice this gentleman does not look as familiar as some of you are clapping because he's your son-in-law. All right, this is Jason. He's here from California. He was out here this week for Thanksgiving, and so he offered to help us in worship this morning, so we're really excited to have him. So at some point today, if you want to love on him, give him a high five, a hug, a $100 bill, he takes anything you want to give him. So make sure you love on him today and just appreciate him. He's very talented. He actually leads worship in California and a couple places too. So we're very blessed to have him. But before we get to worship, I need everybody to stand up. Go find someone that you haven't said hello to yet. Maybe someone you've never said hello to, and go greet.
excited to be here this morning? All right, well, let's continue with worship. Father God, we are excited to be here today. The grace that you have given us is such an amazing gift, Lord. We just want to say thank you. Lord, we just lay everything down at your feet right now. We would pray that you would illuminate our path so that we can see where you want us to be. Teach us how to get involved in this community, Lord, so that we may bless it, so that you can build your kingdom here, God. Just open our hearts and our minds to hear from your word this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you're in Club 3-5, you may go now, and the rest of you may be seated.
Good morning. I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. I'm actually reading from, this is something we use in children's ministries. It's a children's Bible, so it's probably going to be a little bit different from what you're reading in front of you. Long ago, God promised to send a Savior. God sent angels to tell the good news. God's promise would soon come true. First, God sent an angel to Zechariah. He and his wife, Elizabeth, had no children. The angel said, "You will have a son, and he will help people get ready for Jesus." Then God sent an angel to tell Mary good news. The angel surprised her, saying, "Do not be afraid, Mary. God has important news for you. You will have a baby. Name him Jesus. He is the Savior God promised to send, God's own son." Mary wanted to tell her good news. She went to see her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth would soon have a baby as well. Elizabeth also knew that Mary's baby would be the Savior God promised to send. Mary and Elizabeth praised God together.
Okay. Wouldn't you know it? Right in the middle of my favorite program, too. Love it or list it. Look, if you're selling it, I don't want it. If you're looking for it, I ain't got it. And if you're
here... Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas to you, too. But if that's luggage you're selling, I'm not interested. Thank you. Listen, lady, didn't you hear me?
No, I don't think you understand. This is my luggage. I believe we're related.
I'm sorry, but I make it a point not to know anybody who comes with that much baggage. Luggage. Just kidding. Now, don't tell me, let me guess. You're... Well, I haven't seen you in... Just how long has it been, Aunt Millie?
Well, you've never seen me. I'm your wife's aunt.
Of course, that Aunt Millie. Well, I've heard her talk about you many times. Come in. Okay. I'll get her. Dear?
Yes?
How come you never told me you had an Aunt Millie?
An aunt who?
Millie. You know, short, round, bald.
That sounds more like my Aunt Alice.
Well, she says her name's Millie, and she says she's your aunt.
And that's her?
It ain't Mr. Clean.
I sure don't remember her.
Don't worry. Judging by the looks of all that luggage, you'll have plenty of time to get reacquainted. In fact, I'm surprised you didn't pack out a U-Haul.
Okay, I think that's going to take care of it for now. The rest of the stuff's out in the U-Haul.
There are no surprises left in the world.
Oh, would you look at you? You're all grown up. up.
I'm the same size I was a minute ago. Oh, you meant her.
Aunt Millie, it's so good to see you. Oh.
No, I hope I'm not imposing.
Are you kidding? We're thrilled to have you, aren't we, dear?
Thrilled? Yeah, I'm so happy it hurts. So, just how long do you plan to be here, Aunt Millie?
Honey, you don't ask a question like that.
Oh, I'm just so excited to see her. I'd like to know how much time Aunt Millie plans to stay here, a week or two, or till Haley's Comet comes back.
Oh, why? Do you have a good view of it from here? No, really. I appreciate your offer, but I really don't think I can stay, well, much past New Year's Day.
That's this coming New Year's, right?
Honey, why don't you help Aunt Millie with the rest of her things?
Okay.
Actually, you know, why don't you wait? We can do that later.
Whoa. You got quite the load on that trailer. You must have had a time trying to squeeze through the tunnels.
Well, you should have seen it before the piano fell off.
You packed the piano?
Well, it is not my fault that they don't have entertainment at rest stops.
Please, Aunt Millie, sit down and tell me how you've been doing.
Okay. Well, to be perfectly honest, I've been rather lonely lately.
Lonely?
Well, yes, you see, ever since your uncle went, went on home, well, it's just been me and the old Ford out there. It's funny, I always thought I'd be the one to go first, but I guess it just wasn't meant to be that way.
I am so sorry. When did he die?
Die? Well, he didn't die. He just went on home.
Oh. Couldn't take all this traveling, I guess.
But he did say to tell you hi.
Oh, I would have liked to see him again.
Well, you know, he was an awful lot like your mother. And you, too. You know, opening your home to someone you haven't seen in ages. That's something they'd both do.
Aw, but you're my aunt. You're family.
Besides, you heard the television on. You knew we were home.
What's that?
I mean, besides, you can't spend Christmas alone.
Oh, well, that's very generous of you. But, you know, something tells me you'd have done this even if I were a perfect stranger. You two have the Christmas spirit. You don't see it much anymore, but you two sure have it.
The Christmas spirit?
Sure, you know, showing kindness to your fellow man, spreading a little peace and goodwill, putting out the old holiday welcome mat.
You know, I guess that's true. Our welcome mat is always out there. I mean, see right there. Trespassers will be shot on sight. Dear, what happened to our other welcome mat?
Which one was that?
One that says peace to all who enter.
Ah, yes. I think you threw that at the last door-to-door salesman.
What can I say? I'm such a giving person.
We're just lucky she was a Girl Scout and knew how to duck.
Well, anyway, I sure appreciate the kindness you've shown me. You know, I never get tired of seeing people trying to keep the spirit of Christmas alive. You two sure have done a good job, and you're quite a couple. Right. No, it's true. People just don't care about people anymore. But you're... Your kindness and your generosity, well, you've overwhelmed me. You're quite a couple.
Oh, well, now don't
go. No, I mean it. You've really made an old lady feel special. Your mother, Rachel, must be very proud of you.
My mother's name isn't Rachel.
It isn't?
No, it's Sarah.
I got it here somewhere. Wait, isn't this 14 Bundy Lane?
No, this is 28 Bundy Lane.
Well, what do you know? I'm in the wrong house. I am so sorry.
I'm so relieved.
What?
I said, can you believe a mix-up like this?
Well, I am just going to take my stuff and head on out.
Oh, what's your hurry?
Well, my niece is waiting for me. They're going to be worried. But you know what I said before about the two of you having the Christmas spirit? Well, it still goes. You two have something special. Don't lose it.
Millie?
Yes?
If your niece isn't home when you get there, well, why don't you come back and spend some time with us? Did I just say that?
I just might do that.
We'd love to have you.
Besides, what's the point of Christmas if you can't share it with somebody? Aww. I just say that too?
In fact, Millie, why don't you just plan on stopping by here on a regular basis? You're kind of nice to have around.
Oh, well, it'd be my pleasure. But next time, I'm going to make sure I pack enough. Get those other bags, would you, son?
Okay.
An unexpected guest shows up and brings all of her luggage, or as he said, baggage with her. That event, a similar type event, happened centuries ago. Elizabeth and Zechariah had been taking care of their own lives. Zechariah was a priest who was always doing what needed to be done. And he wasn't just some different type of priest. He was, in this particular occasion, he had been chosen to go into the temple and provide the sacrifice necessary. And he and his wife Elizabeth had quite a history with one another. They cared for one another. Elizabeth wasn't just any other Elizabeth. She had this legacy. Her relatives could trace their heritage all the way back to the original priest by the name of Aaron. See, Elizabeth had everything that was necessary for her to be considered a chosen type person, but yet she and her husband Zechariah were regular folks just like you and me. And we pick up the story in verse 5 of Luke chapter 1. It says this: in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. See, they had everything going. He had a stable job. She was a loving wife. But there's something else going on here. Verse 7. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. They had everything. Everything. Except she was childless. They were childless, I should say. And back in that day, it meant a great deal that she was childless. Yes, even though she had been in the line of Aaron, who was this incredible priest, all of a sudden Elizabeth could not have children. And people at that time looked at her and believed that she fell out of favor with God somewhere along the line. Zechariah enters into the temple. He performs the sacrifice. And while he's in the temple, and you heard Libby share this earlier, while he's in the temple, he's visited by an angel. And the angel says, you and your wife will soon have a child. Zechariah questions the angel. And the next thing you know, Zechariah can't speak, because God moved in deep and very significant ways. So Zechariah heads home, and we pick it up in verse 23. When Zechariah's time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. What nobody could believe actually happened. Nobody believed that she could become pregnant. She was beyond child-rearing years, and now this miraculous thing has happened, and she knows it is from God. She knows that this promise has been fulfilled. And while this happens, a few months later on, an angel visits Mary. and in the process of visiting Mary, informs Mary that she too will become pregnant. And she becomes pregnant and she doesn't know what to do. Many people believe Mary was about 14 years of age when this happened. Imagine what's going through her mind at that time. Not quite sure what to do, being confused, perhaps being afraid. And so Mary takes off, and we pick it up in verse 39, and this is where we will spend the bulk of our time this morning. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Father, we pray now that your Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us, that you would open our ears, our eyes, our hearts, our lives, and our minds to receive from you what it is that you have for us. May no one hear anything that I say, but may they only hear what it is that you want them to hear, so that you can continue to do your great work in all of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Real joy always involves a journey. It always involves a journey. Look at verse 39 again, and you'll notice a couple things. And the first thing that you're going to notice is this, is that Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. She hurries. Why would Luke put that word in there? What's the big deal? What's the rush? It's not like she's going to become less pregnant. She's pregnant. It's okay to laugh. I appreciate the laughter. I wish more people would do that every now and then. I think I'm funny. Obviously, you do. Maybe we should get together sometime. Anyway, back to this. But she hurries. And in the process of hurrying, we forget a couple things. First off, this journey that she's about to take is anywhere between 70 to 100 miles. They didn't have phone service back then for Mary to call ahead and say, "Hey, I'm on my way." They didn't have email. You know all that stuff. It's going to take her approximately 3 to 4 days to get to Elizabeth's house. But Luke says she hurried. Why? Well, she's promised to be married to a guy by the name of Joseph. To make that arrangement happen, the two families had to get together and agree on a bride price, meaning Joseph's family paid Mary's family a set wage. I don't know what it was. They agreed to price. And it meant that Mary and Joseph would become a couple someday. In essence, yes, they were engaged, but it really meant they are for one another. Nobody else is to be involved in this. You do not violate this covenant. And yet Mary becomes pregnant, and it's not Joseph's baby. Huh. Mary hurried to get to Elizabeth's place. Back in Middle Eastern rural cult communities, such as the one Mary was raised in, any violation of the agreement between the two parties, in this case, Mary becoming pregnant and it's not Joseph's baby, any time some type of violation of that covenant could happen, the woman could be killed in what's known as an honor killing. Mary finds out she's pregnant, imagine what she's going to do. She shares this information with her parents, and her parents said, "We need to get you out of here now for your own safety." She takes off. Luke says she hurries away. Real joy happens along the journey. Real joy happens when there are obstacles and there are hurdles, and yet you keep going. For that 70 to 100 mile stretch, I don't know what all she encountered. I know this, it wasn't a smooth walk. In Israel, there are rocks everywhere. There's no level ground. She's going up, she's going down, she's going around. She's doing whatever she can. For 70 to 100 miles, she's doing this. She's on the run. But yet she gets to her destination, and upon getting to her destination, she encounters her cousin, and what an incredible meeting they must have had. Joy carried her through that journey. It didn't mean that everything was great, but it meant in the process of that journey, perhaps there were moments along that 70 to 100 years. 100-mile stretch where God reminded her, "I'm with you, Mary. I'm with you, Mary. I'm not going to let go of you, Mary. Keep going, Mary. You're almost there." That's real joy. There's deep joy in the journey. Perhaps you're here this morning wondering if you can keep going in the journey. God says he's with you. God says he's going to take care of you. God says keep going. Don't quit. And so they have this greeting. We pick it up in verse 40, where Mary entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only is joy part of the journey, but joy is also something that cannot be contained. This encounter between Elizabeth, who at this time was 6 months pregnant, and Mary, who was perhaps only maybe a week pregnant, something like that, very early in her pregnancy, that encounter, that greeting, meant an awful lot. Elizabeth was she was 6 months into her pregnancy. When you're 6 months pregnant, people notice. Unless your name is John Bosick. A number of years ago, I was in northern Haiti. We had traveled for 18 hours to get to where we were going. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. I was exhausted. The rest of the team I was with was exhausted. And our host, well, the mother in this family, her name was Eve Rose. She prepared this incredible meal for us. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. We're exhausted. But yet Eve Rose wanted us to sit down. And I had visited with Eve Rose over the years before. And so I went up to her. I greeted her. And I said, "Eve Rose, it's great to see you." And she said, "Pastor John, it's always good to see you." I looked at her. Had her pegged for being 6 months pregnant. Was positive. Because I'm really astute at these things. And I'm really good. So, gave her a hug, backed away, and I said, "Eve Rose, you look fantastic. How far along are you in your pregnancy?" Quick caveat, when I'm exhausted, I say really stupid things. Eve Rose looked at me, smiled at me, and said, "Oh, Pastor John, I'm not pregnant. I just have a big belly." The rest of the team erupts in laughter. I turn as red could be, and I did whatever I could, and I just said, I didn't say anything. Every time I picture Mary and Elizabeth coming together, I remember back to this greeting that I gave Eve Rose that day, and boy, I'll never forget it. And so Mary sees Elizabeth, and that greeting that they had with one another was something unforgettable. Elizabeth responds with this incredible joy. The baby within her leaps. Now, we know this to be true, that babies move in the womb. I've learned these things over time. And this baby's moving within her, and upon hearing the greeting from Mary, John the Baptist moves within Mary. Yes, you could simply say, well, that happens during that particular time of the pregnancy. But for Luke, it was a significant event to show that Jesus Christ brings joy into people's lives. It's something that can't be contained. It's something that moves within us. It's something that prompts us to give some type of a response. But notice, Luke doesn't end there. He says, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to gloss over this, but I want you to think about this. 7 months prior to this particular occasion, Elizabeth was considered disregarded by God because she was unable to have kids. 7 months prior, instead of having children run at her and say, Mama, they ran right by her to their actual mom. For 7 months, the grapevine would be, or 7 months prior, the grapevine was saying, Elizabeth, we feel so sorry for her. She's not pregnant. Can you believe this? What has she done that has caused her to be disregarded by God? And now Luke says this, that not only does the baby leap within her womb, but she is filled with the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes up residency within this woman who 7 months prior, people had said she has nothing good to offer because God obviously has disregarded her. But now she has the third member of the Trinity dwelling within her. The Holy Spirit goes to work wherever he desires, however he desires, whenever he desires, with whomever he desires. He moves without our permission. He does what needs to be done, and now he is moving within Elizabeth, that same Holy Spirit that speaks to you and I and says to us, you're forgiven. That same Holy Spirit that says, offer forgiveness to this person who's broken your heart. The same Holy Spirit that says, continue to do what is right, even when it's easier to do what's wrong. The same Holy Spirit that convicts you and I when we decide to go some other path that we ought not go. That same Holy Spirit that moves in our lives is now moving and has taken up residence within Elizabeth's life. Don't ever discount what God wants to do, and don't ever put God in a box saying you can move with this person or this person, but you certainly can't move within that person. That's God's call. It's his job, and he does it a whole lot better than we do. But remember, joy can't be contained. It says this in verse 42, in a loud voice she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. She doesn't simply look at Mary and say, hey, what's up? She looks at Mary and exclaims in a loud voice, all these great things. Remember, Mary's been running for 70 to 100 miles. She's exhausted, she's confused, she's concerned. Perhaps she doesn't know if there's going to be much of a future for her. And she shows up in Elizabeth, and you can almost see Mary gives her this greeting, and Elizabeth, you can almost see her putting her hand up saying, hey, be quiet, I've got something to tell you. And she does it in a loud voice. The other day, John Stewart and I had the opportunity to go to Navajo Elementary. The students at Navajo Elementary did a canned food drive to give food to our Con and I House ministry. And so we showed up at Navajo, and we're walking down the hall. Cindy Dudley's taking us to where we need to go to pick up the canned goods. And on this wall, there is this poster And on the poster, it's broken into 5 levels, from 0 to 4, and it's what your voice level should be. So apparently they give these numbers to students, and students pay attention. 0 means absolute silence. No talking. Makes sense, doesn't it? 1 means whisper talk. 2 means table talk. 3 means, and it's, this one cracked me up, loud, proud voice. What does that mean? I'm always loud. I don't know if I'm proud, but I'm definitely loud. I don't know what that means. But it's classroom talk. And then 4 was this one. Outside voice. Playground voice. Screaming, letting it loose, yelling, and things like that. When Mary encountered Elizabeth, Elizabeth did not give her 1 voice of, hey, glad to see you're here. Elizabeth gave her 4+ voice, saying, Mary, it is awesome to see you. You are blessed. You are fantastic. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you how blessed you are. She let it loose because real joy cannot be contained. As I read that the other day, I was thinking about how many times I allow the joy that I have in my life about Jesus Christ to be loudly exclaimed. And more often than not, I'll yell more loudly for the Pittsburgh Steelers and the USC Trojans than I will for Jesus Christ. And I began to ask myself, why? Here's Elizabeth exalting God in the presence of Mary, and she wants everybody to hear it. Why do I choose to be more excited about sports, more excited about a Thanksgiving meal I had, more excited about this or that? But when it comes to Jesus Christ, oftentimes I find myself going into 1 voice. And yes, I get it that there are times to be reflective and there are times to be quiet. But yet, take a look at your own life right now. When was the last time you allowed the joy of Jesus Christ to come out of your life in a very loud and pronounced way? In a few moments, we're going to start singing again. Will you sing those songs with joy? Will you sing those songs in a way that expresses how grateful you are for Jesus Christ? Will you sing out with everything you have the same way, with the same amount of passion that you had the other day at Thanksgiving meal when you were with all your friends and family? Elizabeth lets it loose. Joy cannot be contained. And then she goes on this talk about how blessed Mary is. She says, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Notice what she does here. Real joy is about giving, not getting. Mary was concerned, and Elizabeth, instead of saying, Mary, sit down and let me tell you how great God is in my life, Elizabeth immediately begins to give to Mary what she needs at that time. Real joy always gives. It doesn't look to get. And right now, in this particular season of the year, we're bombarded with all these different messages about how by getting this or getting that is going to make you feel better. You're going to enjoy life more. As a matter of fact, Verizon has taken it to the next level. And the recent app campaign says this: instead of making this a season of thanksgiving, let's make this a season of thanksgetting. Oh, you can give your expression like that. And I did that too. But then I said, well, at least Verizon's being bold about it and they're not trying to hide what they're trying to do. Our world wants to believe that it's by getting that you receive joy. But yet Jesus Christ gave his all. to give joy to everybody. But I want you to notice something here. Look at verse 45. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Fulfilled his promises to her. Elizabeth had heard throughout her entire life her name repeated multiple times. Elizabeth, it's time to come home. Elizabeth, it's time for dinner. Elizabeth, what are you going to do today? Elizabeth, what do you think about this? Elizabeth, Elizabeth, Elizabeth. Every day she heard her name. And in today's society, and perhaps in today's world, oftentimes names don't mean much. I realize some of you understand the significance of your name and things like that. But overall, in our society, we don't place a whole lot of importance on names at times. Back in Elizabeth's day, names meant a great deal. Elizabeth, come home for dinner. Elizabeth, Elizabeth, Elizabeth. She'd heard her name. And yet, she remained childless. Elizabeth's name means God promises. Her entire life, she's reminded that God promises. Her entire life, she's reminded that God promises to be there for her. Her entire life, she's seen God do this. She's seen God do that. Yet she is childless. That one promise that she believed she had was not being fulfilled. And now she's pregnant. God is faithful to his promises. Real joy happens when the promise is kept. Paul writes these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Real joy comes the real promise. And his name is Jesus Christ. God promised a deliverer. Jesus Christ is that deliverer. God promised forgiveness. Jesus Christ is the one who brings forgiveness. God promises hope. Jesus Christ provides hope. And so as Elizabeth is speaking to Mary, she says that line that God will fulfill his promises to her. Perhaps in that moment of weakness that Mary may very well have been having, Elizabeth could say, remember, my name's Elizabeth, and it means that God promises, and God promises Mary that he will be with you to the end. Real joy comes with the real promise. And his name is Jesus Christ. Do you know him today? Some of you are here every Sunday and you have no joy in your life. You're looking everywhere for it, but you have no joy. Aunt Millie shows up on your doorstep excited to see you. You have no idea who she is. How do you respond? Jesus Christ shows up on your doorstep, the joy giver, and says, I'm here. How do you respond to him? The one that gives joy, the one who will not let you down. Father, we pray now, as we reflect on these words, we pray that you would speak to each and every one of us. Lord, in a little while, we're going to sing again. May we have level 4 voices because of what you've given to us. Lord, for those of us in this room that are struggling right now to understand who you are, we pray that you would remind us that you are the promise we desperately need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We now turn it over to you.
Speaking of making decisions and deciding if you're going to follow Jesus, we have Jimmy with us this morning. If you have not, oh, there you go, applaud, yeah. Jimmy joined the youth group about almost a year ago now, right? He actually started in choir, and then we stole him for youth group and said, sorry. But for the last year or so, he's been walking and figuring out his faith, and he's been stepping into roles of leadership. You see him every week almost on stage playing bass, and so I'm incredibly blessed to be able to experience this with him and just celebrate the fact that God is changing lives around us. So, Jimmy, I asked him for a sentence on why he believes he's going to get baptized, so here's his answer.
I want to be baptized because Jesus was a light in the darkness, and I want to be part of that light and make this world a brighter place.
Doesn't get much better. All right, so now I'm going to have you repeat after me. Are you ready? I believe. That Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the Living God.
The Son of the Living God.
And I publicly commit my life.
And I publicly commit my life.
To follow him.
To follow him.
As my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
All right.
That was awesome. The joy that Jimmy has, just hang out with him for a while. He might not say a whole lot to you, but he has incredible joy. We're going to ask the ushers to come forward here in just a moment. And as we give, we don't give because we have to. We give because we get to. He gave us everything. He's the one that gave us joy. He's the one that gave us everything we need. And so as the ushers come forward, the band's going to come up. We're going to start singing again. And it's my encouragement to all of us to give generously. And it's my encouragement to all of us to sing with level 4+ voices these great songs about our Savior. So ushers, please come forward.
Stand if you like. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. Shame is undone in your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the
having me today. It's been a pleasure. It's truly been a pleasure to worship with you. And I figured, since Kelsey loves Christmas songs, no, I'm just kidding. I figured we'd end with a Christmas song. Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, now. Christ was born. Oh, night, oh, holy night, oh, night, oh, night divine. Led by the light of faith serenely beaming with glory, by his cradle we stand. So led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from Orient land. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger, in all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need. To our weaknesses, no stranger. His gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, that all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory. Proclaim his power.
So that was great. Jimmy, you dry up quickly. That was awesome, man. So it's good stuff. Real quickly, just some real quick housekeeping things. Andy and Heather Beck, who were with us leading worship last week, have agreed to come and serve as the part-time director of worship here. And we're excited about that. So they start Tuesday. We're looking forward to the ministry that we have with them and that they'll be partnering with us. You'll notice Wednesday night, at least for adults, there's no Grow You Bible study. The reason for that is because I'm going to be on vacation with my loving wife, and we're celebrating our 25th anniversary 8 months early, but that'll be cool. And then next Sunday, Steve Robley is going to be preaching. Steve's with Rainbow Acres, and we look forward to having him with us and serving with us next week. So thank you, Jason. Jimmy, that was way cool. God is good. He provides great joy, and may we experience that joy all the more this week, today, this month, and forevermore. Enjoy him and know that he is with you. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day.